Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bite Sized Blessings podcast. Welcome to November, everyone, and I know that I say this most weeks, but this week, I really have someone seriously fun to introduce you to. John Brink and I got along like a house on fire, and once we got started talking, I really didn't want the conversation to stop. He was born in 1940 in Nazi-occupied Holland during the Second World War, and his story of his miracle ties into this childhood and ties in to what life looked like during that time. When he told me the story, my jaw just dropped. It is absolutely gorgeous and really does go to show that magic and miracles are always around us and always leading us to where we are exactly meant to be. Now, John is many things, as most of my guests are, and he's really involved in some things that are very, very fun. He's a bodybuilder. He talks a lot about his ADHD and dyslexia. He's a very, very successful entrepreneur and has his own podcast, and he's a writer, is a storyteller, is a speaker. Pretty much this man does it all. But his story this week, John has a way with words that is absolutely captivating. So now, without further ado, here's the very next episode of the Bite Sized Blessings podcast.
Then for about a month, behind our house, about 30 feet away, maybe, was a schoolyard and about 25 Canadian soldiers from the Canadian Army Red Cross were there supporting the Canadian Army. But we would do every morning, we would go down there as little kids because we had not had food, and they gave us bread with cheese and butter, and the cheese and the butter was bigger than the bread.
But I have to get to like the meat part of the podcast, which is I ask every single guest, I would love for you to tell a story, or you can tell more than one story, of something in your life that you consider to be magical or miraculous.
Let me tell you this one, Kristen, and that probably fits in that category, in my opinion. So I already told you and your listeners that we were liberated by the Canadian Army April the 12th, 1945. Then for about a month, behind our house, about 30 feet away, maybe, was a schoolyard and about 25 Canadian soldiers from the Canadian Army Red Cross were there supporting the Canadian Army. But we would do every morning, we would go down there as little kids because we had not had food, and they gave us bread with cheese and butter, and the cheese and the butter was bigger than the bread. And we called everybody Johnny. We didn't speak the language, but we did. And so that made that immense impression. So that led me to then from that point forward, I would go to the land of my heroes, Canada. So those 25 people that were there for about a month, month and a half, made an immense impression. So then when I came to Canada and here to Prince George, virtually on the other side of the world, and I became a superintendent of a sawmill, I got to know the sales manager of that mill, and I was very nervous because I didn't quite speak the language. And You know, and he invited me to his house. I was single then, obviously young and working hard, but becoming a management employee, being a superintendent. So he invited me to his house for dinner. And his name was Jerry Wilmot. And so I went to his house on a Friday. I was very, very nervous. And formally with his wife and me sitting there for dinner. And we talked about Holland and we talked about him and his wife and his family. He had a lumber mill here in Prince George. And he was in the Canadian Army. And he was the captain in that unit of 25 people in Holland.
Oh my gosh.
And then today, that I'm sitting here on my boardroom in our main office of our lumber mill that I started here 50 years ago in July of 1975 on this location by the railroad. There was another mill located here on this location. And the title of the mill was Norman M. Smith. And the owner of Norman M. Smith, Captain Jerry Wilmot.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I can't even believe that.
Yeah, I know. And I'm a realist. I you know, these things are not supposed to happen, but they did.
I just kind of am speechless right now because that is astonishing. I mean, just imagining you as children and just having to go to the rail yard every day to try to find whatever you could to stay warm or whatever you could to eat anything. And then you have this, the Canadians come in and liberate. But not only that, they set up behind your house and you go to them every day. And all of a sudden you're having these incredible luxuries, like these giant pats of butter and these giant slices of cheese. And it's almost like a dream, you know, I'm sure as children, like not believable, something out of a dream. And then, you know, you're life goes on. The Canadians, you know, go back to Canada or wherever they go. You have this dream and desire to go to Canada because of this experience of the Canadians. And then you end up in this place where the captain of those 25 men is there. And just it's almost like poetry.
And he had pictures of our houses and all those things. I took them with me to Holland and showed them to my parents and my mom. And that were right behind our house.
I am sure your mother actually couldn't believe it because I don't.
No, it is unbelievable. And then to meet him here, now today where we are, Norman M. Smith was a small mill that operated on exactly the same footprint where today our head office is in Northern British Columbia. But this was owned up to 1964 by Captain Jerry Wilmot.
John, you were blowing my mind. I mean, honestly, I'm listening to this story and there's just this beautiful synchronicity running through all of it. And this connection, it's like this connection, you form this connection with these Canadian soldiers. And then later in life, you find yourself at dinner, no less, with your supervisor. And you have this conversation. I'm sure your supervisor was equally just astounded.
Yeah, but we didn't make the connection then in terms of the mill yet, you know, because I didn't know, you know, so yeah, I hadn't even started then. This was 1965, It would not be until 10 years later that I started this operation, not realizing this was Norman M. Smith and it was owned by Captain Jerry Wilmot.
I mean, I'm sure his wife was sitting at the table thinking, what is happening here? And this is just miraculous. I'm kind of just my jaw is dropped here. And I just think to myself, it's almost like everything was fated for you to leave and come to Canada and then have this, not reconciliation, but just reconnection with this part of your childhood, where you were essentially liberated and saved by Canadian forces at the time. I mean, my gosh, I mean, how did you even deal with thinking about all this?
It's not supposed to happen. I'm a realist, right? So these things don't happen, but they do.
Enjoyed this episode with John Brink, and I hope you enjoyed all the stories that John had to tell. There's no doubt in my mind that he is a consummate storyteller and that you should check out each and every single one of his books, including Living Young, Dying Old, How to Thrive in Your Mid-80s. I know we're not all there yet, but I bet there are some important lessons and things we can learn from that book that might help us even now. There will be a link to John's website so you can check out a little bit more about this incredible human being, about all of the things that he's involved in, all of the books that he's written. He really is a prolific writer. Thank you for listening. And if you like what you hear, please do consider writing a review or leaving a little rating wherever you listen to the podcast. Those ratings and reviews, they help other people find us. And I really do want to bring these stories of hope, of resilience, of magic to a larger part of the world. I want more people to remember that this world is a beautiful place. So with your ratings and reviews, I can do that. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like John. Do not take no for an answer. Oh yeah, and really do not allow others to define you. People are so quick to categorize these days, to judge others, to put other people in the little boxes that they think they belong. But be like John and say, no, I absolutely refuse to go in that box. I refuse to let you limit me. Know that in fact that all possibilities are on the table, that you are the master of your destiny, and how large you can dream, well, that's the limit of all you can achieve. So be like John, dream bigger than big, never take no for an answer. And so very soon, I suspect you'll be looking around and reveling at just where you suddenly find yourself.